Partake of God's Word. We're going to press into something this morning. Like I said, it's going to be the beginning of a series called True Righteousness. And I'll probably just keep that same title and we'll just add a one or a two or a three or whatever behind that. But I think there'll be several sermons that come out of this. But it's something that is just so much in the Bible, and it's so much of what the Apostle Paul and other writers of the Bible, the writer of Hebrews and others, that they put into the Bible to help us to learn and to grow what righteousness is really about and how to live it out. And we're just going to press into that in Jesus' name. But let's start with a prayer. Father God, we're coming before you right here and now in the name of Jesus, as your servants, as your children, Father, that came here to learn of you, to grow in our faith and our understanding of you. And Father, I pray, use your word this morning. Use your powerful scripture and your word to point us in the right direction. Let it alter our course, Lord, for the better, for you, for good, for the glory of your name, that you are exalted and worshiped even more as we understand our true righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So I want to talk about true righteousness. Okay, true righteousness is, it's really a message that's aimed at setting people free. Okay, there's so much bondage in the body of Christ. The being held back from what could be when we're bound up under the wrong version or the wrong kind of righteousness, the false righteousness. True righteousness is something that comes when we're partaking of and we're receiving God's best plan, with the way that God designed for things to happen. Hopefully, if you guys are on board, you'll be wanting to know the truth. You want to know the truth above all else. I thought of something the other day. I was lighting a fire in our fireplace, and we had different logs in there, and I was trying to get the paper underneath to get going and then get the logs going. And as I was lighting it, I noticed that the flames were like reaching around the log, as they will do, because they're doing what? They're searching for oxygen, right? And so as they flicker and they do all their stuff, they're trying to snap up a little bit more oxygen. And as it was wrapping around the log, I thought of how important that oxygen is to it, because if it doesn't get it, it will die out, right? If it doesn't have the right, you know, part of the fuel, it's going to die out. And that should be our passion as a believer, that we pursue the truth about things and the truth about God, the truth about righteousness, with that sort of a passion and that sort of a hunger that, you know what, if we don't get this, we will die out. And so that truth is so important. Okay, true righteousness is found when we partake of and receive of God's plan, but don't mix in our own opinions. Okay, remember that even the proverb, in scriptures that talks about not partaking or not engaging in things of our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledging Him, right? We want to let go of our own opinions and our own efforts and take that out of the equation. You know, the people have struggled with walking in true righteousness for centuries, okay? Literally a couple thousand years they've been struggling to understand what true righteousness, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true new covenant, what that means and what it says, okay? They seem to believe for a while, okay, and here's what happens. People believe the gospel. They believe the truth. Jesus saved me. I got saved by grace. And they believe that for a while, but then somehow start to figure that they need to improve upon the plan of God. Okay, what he said was enough was simply not enough for me. Okay, and so they begin to add to it. And that's where we'll see in a lot of different places, the Galatians in particular, started to go back under what he was already pulled them out of and told them that they were free from. Okay, let's start with a scripture in Romans chapter 3. Okay, the verse says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Okay, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone that believeth. And we'll go back to that verse 4 here in a minute. But first, think about that for a minute, that the true righteousness, they had strayed from that. They were ignorant of it. Okay, God had a plan for their righteousness. He had a plan and a way for them to be saved and to be right with Him. But they began going about to establish their own righteousness. In other words, they added their own 2 cents worth and began to change what God's plan was. And it says in the end that they had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In other words, He had a plan. Okay, and this is my plan, God saying this is my plan, but they had strayed from that. Okay, well today over the and over the next couple of weeks, we're going to get very well grounded in the righteousness that comes by faith. Okay, rather than the other side of it. We're going to shift your thinking from false righteousness that comes from your own efforts, okay, to the righteousness that is freely offered to set you free to live that life that God has intended for you. Okay, for some, this is it's going to be a radical teaching, something that maybe you didn't hear. Like I said, I grew up in on the other side, in the more religion, and I did not understand what true righteousness was until it was explained to me and God's word began to be shared with me to the point that I could understand it. And that's what I hope in the next few weeks you will get. You may have believed in God for many years. Okay, you may have even believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for your eternal life. But that doesn't mean that you understand the truth of righteousness yet. Okay? You may be laboring under a curse. Okay? Not yet enjoying the true liberty and that freedom that Jesus Christ came to give you. Jesus said in John 8:36, he said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, then you shall be what? Free indeed," right? That's what he intended. That freedom is exactly what God wants for you. Okay, he wants you to be free from bondage. Not free to sin, but free to live in true righteousness. Free to live the life that God has called you to. Free to walk it out. Free to live it out. Okay, I want to start with something many of you will be familiar with. Anybody ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Okay, let's start with that. I got a slide for that. The Ten Commandments, okay? If you go through, thou shalt have no other gods, no graven images, okay? Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. You remember the Sabbath day. Honor the father and the mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Shall not steal, not bear false witness and lie. Thou shalt not covet, okay? These are pretty common, right? Anybody ever seen or heard of these before? Okay, raise your hand if you've ever seen or heard of the Ten Commandments. Okay, everybody in the room, right? Okay, they have been taught, they've been promoted, they've been made movies about, right? Anybody ever seen the Ten Commandments? It comes out every March or whatever. Okay, they've been applied to God's people and Christians for many years. I mean, you could literally say thousands of years they have been applied. Okay, well, when I was looking for an image for this slide, this is just pulled off the internet, but as I was searching for the Ten Commandments, you know, an image of it that I could use in this slide, I came across kind of a funny one that was called the Liberal Ten Commandments. Okay, and I have to share a couple of them because they're kind of funny, but before we get into these. Okay, the Liberal Ten Commandments said things like, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Supreme Court in vain." Okay. Or, "Thou shalt not steal except from the rich, and thou shalt use the tax code to do so." Okay? Okay. If you're liberal, this probably rubbed me the wrong way, but bear with me. Okay? It said, "Thou shalt not kill except it be for convenience or to keep someone from testifying against you." Okay? And it even had one that said, Thou shalt covet thy neighbor's house, his car, and his wife, for thy covetousness shall drive thy politics." Okay, so they're kind of funny ones, but it's something I wanted to be able to share with you. We'll go back now to the Ten Commandments. Okay, these are the ones that God gave us, right? Would you agree that these are, at least in part, the laws of God? Okay, they were etched in stone, right? We're not even going to get to that scripture today, but there's really good scriptures in the New Testament that talk and point to the commandments that were written and engraven on stone. Okay, the laws of Moses, they called them. Many people refer to it as. Okay, when the Bible talks about, in the New Testament, the keeping of the law, okay, or Old Testament as far as that goes, this is kind of that foundational image to bring to mind. Okay, it's referring to Ten Commandments, right, among others. Okay, but even the scripture that we read a few minutes ago in Romans, okay, that verse 4 in Romans 10 said, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." Okay, and that means by faith. Okay, it's comparing faith and works, or the law of Moses versus receiving your salvation through grace and righteousness through grace. But the very next verse that points this to the law of Moses, it says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And then verse 5 says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, okay, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Okay, now I'm going to back this up with more scriptures over the next few weeks that point to the Ten Commandments in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, that is pointing to the Ten Commandments when it talks about the law. Okay, it's referring to the Ten Commandments, the laws of God given through Moses. Let's go back just for a minute to the Ten Commandments again. Okay, if this is the checklist that you're using to determine kind of where you stand with God, okay, if we're going to use the Ten Commandments as that basis, and we're going to, you know, see how we measure up, how are you doing? Are you keeping up? Are you keeping up pretty well? You know, if we look through them, gosh, number 6, I got that one. Anybody got that? Okay, hopefully most of us are in that. You know, we can look through this list and we could say, you know what, I can check off quite a few, right? I've got number 6 down. I haven't killed anybody. Number 3, yeah, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. I quit doing that a long time ago. Okay, I used to, but I don't do it anymore. I haven't done it for a long time, so I can check that one off. Okay, I can't speak for you guys. I haven't cheated on my wife, okay, or committed adultery or lied to people. I've been honest with people. Okay, I try not to covet other people's stuff. I'm not doing too bad, right? I can keep most of these. Maybe 8 out of 10 can be pretty fair. Okay. Well, I'm sorry to break the news to you, but even if you could keep all 10 of these perfectly, never one slip, mess up, nothing. Keeping these 10 commandments is not what makes you right with God. It's not what makes you right with Him. I've had people argue with me and say, oh, are you saying that a Christian doesn't have to ever keep the Ten Commandments? And that's not what I'm saying. Okay? You may do all of these things fairly well. Okay? I'll go my whole life probably never kill anybody. I pray I don't. Okay? The same with adultery. The same with some of these. I can go through my whole life and never do some of them as a Christian. What I am saying is that doing these things is not what labels you as righteous or unrighteous. This is not the determining checklist. This is not what God is looking at saying, did they do this? Did they do that? Oh, they didn't do that. I can't check that one. That's not what God is doing. Your salvation and your entrance into heaven is not based on you keeping these commandments. Okay? The favor, the kindness, the blessing of God, the forgiveness that He has offered you is not based on keeping them either. Okay, get that into your spirit. Because some people feel like they have to do the right things in order for God to love them. Okay, you're going to see a difference by the time you're done with even this morning. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, okay, think Ten Commandment, but by the faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ so that we may be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, everybody read this last section here with me, would you? For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the works of the law. Okay, to be justified simply means to be rendered holy or innocent. Okay, first God to look at you and to render you innocent of the charges against you, to be freed from guilt. Okay, that is to be justified. We are justified by our faith alone and not in any way because of the works of the law. Okay, now the works of the law means your efforts towards or your keeping of the law. You are not justified by the keeping of the law, for by the works or the keeping of the law shall no flesh be justified. God changed the covenant. Okay, He said this is the way it is under the new covenant of grace. In other words, your being good or your being in good with God. Okay, anybody want to be in good with God? Okay, your being in good with God is not based on what you do, but it is based on what you believe. Okay, get that inside. Because if you're still trying to do to get God to be in good with God, you're missing the new covenant. Okay, the mentality that says, when I do good, God will bless me, and when I do bad, God will punish me, is absolutely false. Okay, to think that if I step out and do the wrong thing, God is going to punish me for that, it voids the new covenant of grace. God responds to your faith, not to your actions. Okay, I know this is different. I never heard this stuff until I began to understand grace and somebody shared with me the truth about grace. If God's response to you was based on your actions, what you do or didn't do, His love for you and His forgiveness for you would be on again and off again. Okay? God can't forgive you one moment and the next minute say, no, I don't forgive him for that. Then the next one say, oh, I do forgive him for that because now they're doing good things. Oh, no, I don't forgive them now. God cannot jump back and forth. Your forgiveness was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, He did what He needed to do. Okay, every time you slipped up with that kind of a mentality, God would turn away from you. Okay, He would reject you. Okay, you were not capable of keeping the Ten Commandments perfectly. Okay, if you were, God would not have sent His only begotten Son into the world, right? He would not have sent Jesus for you. Okay, He sent Jesus to do them perfectly and then tell you that your faith in Him is what will put you in right standing with God. Okay, if you think about it, then when Jesus came along, He even added to this list to make it even more impossible to keep. Right? If you think about it, to even look at someone with lust in your eyes is to commit adultery. You guys know what I'm talking about. Okay? Or to be angry with your brother. Okay? Goes beyond just being angry. Now it is to commit a murder. Right? And so when we can say, I can keep number 6, I can keep number 9, whatever. When we say that, Jesus came along to make it impossible to keep. Okay, and there's a reason for that. We're not even going to get into why the law and what Jesus did to point us to Christ. We won't even get to that yet today. But Jesus was setting you up so that you would not only see your need for His grace, okay, which is the law points you to see your need for a Savior, right? Okay, Jesus was setting you up to not only see your need for His grace, but that you would literally need grace in order to be saved. Because you can't save yourself. You couldn't do what needed to be done. Only Jesus could do that. And when I first wrote that statement about that Jesus made the keeping of the law even more impossible to keep, I wrote it like this. I said, Jesus added to the list to make it even more impossible to keep without Him. Okay? Has anybody ever thought like that? Okay, man, glad I got Jesus because I couldn't do it without Him. Right? I hate to burst your bubble, but you can't do it with Him. Okay, think about this. You can't do it with Him. Let's see how many honest Christians we have here today. Who in the last week has slipped? You've sinned at least once in the last week. Okay, a few hands going up. The ones that didn't, you're sinning right now, right? You're lying right now. Okay. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, right? Eternal separation from God. Your punishment, you're going to be banished to hell. Okay, it's a sin. It's a barrier between you and God. So if your right standing is still based on your performance, whether you do the right things or not, then you're in trouble. So we say that we've received Christ, but yet if my salvation, if my righteousness is still based on what I do, then Jesus didn't do enough. Okay? You don't receive the grace of Jesus Christ to help you live a better life. That's not why you live it, why you get it. Okay? You receive the grace of Jesus Christ to to avert the guilt and the condemnation and the punishment of God. That is the grace of God. Okay? If His grace was what empowered you, let me back this up just a little bit. We don't receive His grace to live a better life. Okay? We strive to be more like Jesus, right, in our life. We try to live right. We try to say and do the right things more consistently. Do you guys desire that? Okay, I know I do. Okay, if I'm not, I know areas that I'm not there yet, and I still strive to be more like Jesus. I want to handle things the way that He handled it. Okay, but His grace is not what helps you to do that. Okay, He sent the Holy Spirit to empower you for righteous living. He sent the Holy Spirit to do what He needs to do to empower you so that you can live out the way that God wanted you to live it out. Some of you are still resisting that power of the Holy Spirit, but that's a whole another message we won't get into in this series. If grace was what empowered you to live right, okay, if that's what it took, how many can say, I've received the grace of God? Okay, I've received the grace. So why am I not perfect? Why do I still mess up if I've received the grace of God? Okay, I have received the grace for eternal life. Okay, the proof that you have believe, the proof that you have that we can't do what needs to be done and that grace isn't that Savior, that the one that makes us so that we do the right things. Okay, the proof is that you have believed in the grace of Jesus Christ. He is very much a part of your life. And yet you still can't keep the laws perfectly. Okay? John said in chapter 3 that you must be born again. Okay? We're a Protestant evangelical church. Okay? I believe that wholeheartedly that you must be born again. Okay? How many of you are born again? Okay? Anybody? You can say, I'm born again. If you haven't, if you're not raising your hand, I'll help you with that. Okay? You must be born again. How did you get born again? Was it something that you did right? Okay, did you, wake up one morning and God says, great job, I knew you could do it if you just tried hard enough. Okay, here's your gift of righteousness. Okay, did He give you that because you did something right or because you believed by faith in what His Son did? Okay, we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's what we did. Okay, you were born again by faith in what Jesus did for you. We trusted and believed on what He did on our behalf. So you were saved without or apart from the Ten Commandments. So why would you now, after you have been born again, after you have received that, why would you have to keep the law to make yourself or to keep yourself in right standing with God now? Okay, does God expect you to live right? Yes. Does God expect you to do those in order to be right? No. He does not. Okay? You were born again by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul talks to the Galatians. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you or deceived you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? He said, this only would I learn of you, or this is what I want to know. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit by faith, are you now made perfect by the flesh through your works? Okay, let's go back to those Ten Commandments one more time. Now, I picked this slide for the image of the commandments on purpose because whoever put it together, this is kind of shifting gears a little bit, whoever put this together devised a masterpiece of the false truth that has infiltrated the people of God today. Can anybody see it? Anybody know why I chose this slide? It combines the two symbols, one for the law, and one considered grace. Okay, Old Testament, New Testament. Anybody get that? Do you ever see that? Anybody see the bumper sticker, the coexist one? It's got them all on there. Okay, the mixing of those two covenants together, like they belong together, doesn't work. It's not the way God intended it to be. Okay, mixing the old covenant law-keeping faith and the new covenant cross of Christ. They're two symbols that are often used to represent the old covenant and the new covenant. They do not belong on the same page. They cannot be mixed together. James chapter 2, verse 10. He says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet you offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not kill.' Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." So if you say that you're under grace, and yet you're still trying to keep the law, you are going back under the law and effectively throwing the grace of Jesus Christ away. What he offered you, you're throwing it away. Another passage in the Bible we won't get to today says that you're trampling under feet the grace or the cross of Christ. Whosoever among you is trying to be saved by the keeping of the law. Grace plus law equals law. Get that into your brain. You can't, it's like zero plus zero, it still equals zero, right? That law plus grace, you can't come up with just grace out of that picture. Okay, many Christians today are saying that you're saved by grace, and yet they must keep a certain law or certain parts of the law in order to maintain their salvation. Okay, and you guys know, if you've ever been around some of the more religious, legalistic kind of, some are cults, some are denominations, but if you get around them, and oh boy, like a Sabbath keeper, I'll just use that example, hopefully it doesn't offend you too bad. But to be around that kind of a person, they are going to promote very strongly that you must keep the Sabbath. Okay, I've been told I was going to hell because I have church on Sunday. That kind of a mentality. Okay, because they're trying to promote that you must go back under the law. You must still keep part of the law. Okay, they're mixing the law and grace together. Okay, many deceived Christians believe by faith for their salvation. And they've now become a Christian. Okay, some are born again Christians. So I'm going to heaven. However, they still feel like they must keep the laws in order to remain saved. Okay, the Apostle Paul dedicated his entire life and ministry to correcting that way of thinking. To think that you have to go back under the law to remain saved. He chided and admonished these guys for doing it. And yet, so much of what he taught is still being missed. People are not getting it out of the Scripture. The Apostle Paul told the Galatians that if you're mixing the law with grace, that you are voiding the completed works of Jesus Christ. You're making it of no effect. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ." I have that one in there, Keith. There it is. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not," let's read this one together, verse 21. "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Okay, it cannot happen. You cannot maintain that salvation through the works of the law. Now, people were in Paul's day, and they still are today, squawking about the freedom that a grace-understanding Christian walks in. Okay, they're doing everything they can to get them back under that works mentality. "I know you're saved by grace, but you still got to dress this way. You still got to do this. You still have to," you know, I know churches that are still separating the men and the women. They're still doing things that you still got to do this in order to be right with God. Because if you don't, then God can't hear your prayers, or God won't listen to you, or you're going to be punished. Okay, you could even take it to that extreme. Okay, some of you may still be struggling with this. Not to that degree. Okay, not saying you must go to church on Saturday kind of stuff. Right, but you may be struggling with it to a certain extent. Maybe thinking, "There's no way that God loves me as much when I sin and mess up as he does when I'm reading my Bible or when I'm in church." Okay, thinking that God loves me more when I do right and he loves me less when I do wrong is that same kind of mentality. Okay, you think that when you do something kind for someone, that God smiles and He's pleased with you. But when you stumble or you slip into sin, that God somehow withdraws His love from you. Okay, holds it back until you start doing better again. Okay? Some people expect the punishment of God. I didn't read my Bible this morning. I have a flat tire. It's because I didn't read my Bible. That mentality is false. That's wrong thinking. Okay, that's not the way that God works. It doesn't work that way. We're not under the eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth covenant anymore. Okay, you know, my boys sometimes get to wrestling around and one of them socks the other one socks him back. Who gets in trouble? The one that socked them back. Why did you do that? Because you hit me. Okay, we don't live under that anymore. Okay, there's a better way. Right? Jesus said, turn the other cheek. He gave us examples. He told us how to handle that kind of stuff. But we have to continually strive to not go back under that covenant of eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. God is not giving you what you deserve. He's giving you what you don't deserve, knowing that His goodness and His kindness, His forgiveness, His love for you will turn you to Him. Okay, He loves on you anyway, because He knows that you will do the right thing. He knows you'll do the right thing and you'll strive for that, not because you have to, not because He's forcing you to, but because you want to. Okay? How much more of a blessing was it? My mom used to say, you know, I've used this before, but, you know, somebody needs to take the garbage out, Gary. Okay? Okay? Implying what? You know, that you need to take the garbage out. And so I'd stomp over, grab the garbage, and take it out and do what I needed to do, just like these guys will sometimes do, my kids. Okay? How much more would it mean to my mom if I just went and got the garbage and took it out when it was full? A lot. It would mean a lot. Okay? And to this day, you know, if we go home and stay with family or we see those needs, we can do those things not because we have to, but because of the love that's in our heart, we want to do the right thing. The goodness of God, the Bible said, leads you to repentance, to adjust your course. The Apostle Paul referred to those who would try and pull a Christian back under the law as false brethren. Okay? They look like a brother. They smell like a brother, okay? But there's something false about them, okay? They've got it looking right on the outside, but there's something false on the inside. Okay, Galatians 2:4. He says, and that because of false brethren, do I have Galatians 2:4 in there, Keith? There it is. Let's go back one. There's only that one in there. Well, let me read to you the King James one. It says, because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out your liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, so that they may bring us into bondage. Okay, now I put in the Amplified, because in the Amplified, it almost makes Paul, in the Greek, almost makes it sound like he's saying they're not even Christians. Okay, look at the language. He said, my concern was because of the false brothers. Okay, those people masquerading as Christians. They're just pretending. Okay? It's like a true form of a hypocrite, right? That's what masquerading, hypocrisy. Okay, it meant to put on a mask. Okay, those false brothers, those people masquerading as Christians who had been secretly smuggled into the community of believers, they had slipped in to spy on the freedom which we have in Christ Jesus in order to bring us back into bondage, back under the law of Moses. Okay? He's saying that that's a false brethren that try to bring you back under the bondage of the law of Moses. That try to tell you that you have to keep the Ten Commandments in order to be right with God is a false brethren. Okay? That's serious business. It means they may not even be saved. They might just be masquerading as a Christian. Now, I don't know about you, but I know I don't want to be masquerading as a Christian. And if Paul is saying that those that come in to try to spy out their liberty and to try, oh, you can't do that, you gotta do these things. And they come in and they try to do that, I don't want to be in that category of someone masquerading as a Christian. I don't want to be known as someone that steers people back into bondage, back into the laws of Moses. Okay? That's why I preach grace. Another false belief, something else that comes up, in people's minds is that too much grace is a bad thing. Okay, too much grace means that you walk around sinning all the time and you don't even care about it. Too much grace is what they call, some people call it extreme grace. That means you can just go off and do whatever you want and live the way that you want. Okay? If you tell people that their right standing with God is not based on their works, then people will just go and sin all the time. That's the mentality. But to think that people under grace will walk in sin and not do the right things is also false. 100% false. I've been preaching the message of God's grace for over 20 years, and never once have I had someone leave one of my services thinking, it's okay to go into sin, I can live any way I want. Nobody leaves with that impression, and I preach a strong grace message. Okay, God doesn't go that direction, and neither do we. I understand the grace of God as much or probably more than most people in this church. And yet I know what the right thing to do is. I know and do the right things on a pretty consistent basis. But even the slightest straying off course, even in my own life, and I immediately sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I immediately know that something's not right. I don't want to go that route. And adjust my course, repent. Okay, get back on course and do the right thing. Okay? The Holy Spirit helps me endeavor to get back and to keep on track. The Christian who understands true righteousness knows that God loves us in spite of ourselves. Okay? And He loves us in spite of ourselves so that we will do the right thing, not so that we won't. Okay? He doesn't love us so that we won't do the right thing. Hebrews 10:26, this guy puts it pretty strongly. He says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." Okay? In other words, if I go on willfully and willingly sinning after I know the grace that God has bestowed upon me, that is to push away the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on my behalf. I understand the grace of God pretty well, but it doesn't make me want to go out and sin. It does just the opposite. It makes me not want to sin because I'm in a personal, intimate relationship with God Almighty. I love Him and I know how much He loves me because He's not punishing me for all the things that I've done or do. Okay, I know that He loves me even when I stray. And I know that His love for me touches my heart and it humbles me. It'll bring you to tears how much God loves you when you realize how much of a rascal you've been and God doesn't punish you for it. Okay? When those things happen, it truly makes you feel sorry and want to adjust your course. I don't know about you, but if I ever step out and I knew it was a step out and I was like, oh, man, I feel that inside. I don't like it. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to be that way. I don't want that to happen. So I adjust my course and get back on the right track. Take this away from this message this morning. The Christian may inadvertently keep many of the laws of God. Okay, we're going to be doing the right things as much or more than many of the people around us. But keeping those laws is not demanded by God for your right standing with Him. That's not what He is holding you to. He is holding you to whether or not you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you're saved. That's how He delivers you from the wrath to come. You are under the covenant of grace. Okay? Mixing the law and the grace together. I'm saved by grace, but I got to do these things. Okay? That mentality is aside from the true grace that He wanted to give you. Okay, mixing the law and the grace is not God's plan for you. He sent His grace in the form of His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. True righteousness is based on the completed works of Jesus Christ, not on yours. Okay, take that away. It's based on Jesus Christ and His completed works, not my own. God loves me in spite of me, in spite of my shortcomings, failures, and faults. He loves you deeply, intimately through those things, with the intention that that will then somehow, and it does, steer you back unto Him. Amen. Well, Father God, we're praising You this morning. I'm grateful for Your Word, Lord, that so many times You give us the same message, Father, in Your Scriptures, that we can adhere to the truth of righteousness and to go the direction that You had planned with the new covenant, not to adhere or to mix in, to try to pull in the old back into the new, to try to add to the new and make it better. But Father, that we can just trust in You and Your plan through the new covenant of Jesus Christ, the blessing, the testament of Jesus Christ that You have given unto us. We're praising You for grace. We're thanking You for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy and justifying us based simply on faith in You. Lord, we trust You this morning and we're relying on You for everything and every way, wholeheartedly yearning for more and more of You, Lord. Have Your way. Change us, conform us into Your image, Lord. Use You and Your Word to do so, to guide us, to keep us on track. Use Your love to minister Your forgiveness and that love unto us in a way that draws us deeply unto You, yearning to do and to say and to be the right way, Lord. We're honoring You and thanking You for it in the name of Your Son and our Savior. In Jesus' name we say, amen.